I am launching a limited series podcast, Christian Women and Menopause, strategies for midlife women who want to know what the Bible says about menopause symptoms like stress, lack of confidence, anxiety, and depression. Christian Women and Menopause is a limited series, so there are only 21 episodes. Episodes will drop one per day starting Tuesday, April 23rd. Check out Christian Women and Menopause on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Christian Women in Menopause, a limited series brought to you by Hello Hot Flash. Hey there, I'm Stephanie Shaw. Welcome to the Hello Hot Flash podcast, where midlife women can learn from guest experts and authors who discuss menopause and all that comes with this new chapter in our lives. Hello Hot Flash, where we learn to control the change and not let the change control us. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midlife change. This month, we're celebrating Women's History Month. Yay, women, yay! There are so many great women doing so many great things that I decided to bring together small groups of women to discuss how they are navigating midlife. Today, we're going to talk to some industry leaders like Amy, who's an inspirational speaker and author, Anne, an attorney who teaches families the biblical principles of eating and living healthy, Benita, the CEO and lead consultant of a company that helps women find rest so they can thrive, and Susanna, a Pilates and integrative movement specialist. And they will have an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about themselves as we go on. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So good to be here.
I'm excited for this conversation. So my idea around this episode was to, again, have women hear from other women how to make sure you're taking care of your whole body as we navigate this midlife journey. I recently interviewed a woman. It was episode 111. And we talked about positive body image and self-care and how we need to do both if we're going to thrive. Women often take on the role as a caregiver, and we don't always remember that we have to take care of ourselves first. What's the saying? Put on your own oxygen mask first. Mm-hmm. It's okay to read a book alone. It's okay to go to the movies alone or with your girlfriends or spend the weekend at a retreat. That is okay. Episode 108, my guest Belinda tells her story of what actually happened to her when she became a caregiver but didn't take care of herself. So this is a super important conversation, and I want us to help change that narrative of what self-care is and that self-care is not selfish. So in order to change it, we got to talk about it, right? So let's get started. And I'm going to just throw this first question out to anyone who'd like to speak up. So how has your journey through midlife and or menopause influenced the way that you approach coaching?
I'll go first, if that's okay. You and I have talked before, so you know my story that I was severely overweight. And then, of course, I do what I always do and I pray and ask God how to fix this problem because I can't. And he showed me what I was doing wrong through my eating habits. And then here comes the 40s and I get this thing called menopause and a thyroid issue. So we always told people, you know, who, and it was because of the thyroid issue that was into the, I think they call it perimenopause, threw me into that early, whatever the proper term is. So we always talk to people and letting them know that it's not about you being super skinny. It's about you being healthy. And it's about you taking care of your body. Because when you love yourself enough to take care of your body, you're basically showing God that you're grateful to him for making you, for giving you good health. And you want to take care of that and show him that you're grateful. So it's been quite a eye-opening experience when we're talking to other people who are dealing with issues that have like lupus, people taking steroids that are causing them to be overweight, people who have issues with cortisol that cause them to be overweight. It's a different dynamic, you know, encouraging those people who are having medical issues to stay the course, to keep eating healthy, to keep exercising, even though it's a much more difficult thing to do because of the health issue that they have on top of the, say, for instance, obesity that they're experiencing or diabetes or whatever the case may be. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. Anyone else want to take a stab at the question?
Sure. I think the thing that really widened for me in myself as a woman with a business and also flipping into how I work with my clients and my staff, I experienced some issues early in my menopause where I've been an athlete, a mover, someone who I make sense of the world through my movement and my body, mm-hmm. and experienced a period with pain and dysfunction in my body where all of a sudden the thing that made mm-hmm. me feel better didn't anymore. I had seen all kinds of specialists who had all kinds of answers, none of which did me any good whatsoever. So I had to sort of unplug from everything and really tune into myself to figure out what the heck was going on and how I was going to manage it. So I think how I've changed to some degree and how I'm working with the people that are in my sphere who are going through midlife is, A, I listen a whole lot differently than I used to. There's a wider perspective. And B, we don't have to have the answer today. This minute, this second. We maybe want to look at some pathways, but we don't have to go at warp speed. We may not get the solution right away. It's going to take some time to let things play out. That's something that I encourage people to kind of find is some of that patience and grace for maybe not having all the answers today and taking the time to really learn and listen to what the universe, the fates, whatever, the body, what they're telling us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, important. Amy, actually, my next question was for you, and you touched on it a little bit, but I'm going to ask you to go a little deeper on it. Like, what ways, so we're all health and wellness, working in the health and wellness sector in some way or another. How can we as practitioners or people in that space better cater to the needs of our 40 plus audience?
You're asking me, is that right? Or Susanna?
Yes, I'm asking Amy, and I looked up at Susanna. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I heard my name. Is that right? Okay. I totally forgot the question, right, but I will say this. I'm Amy. I will say this, that as a person who has lived the past decade with a broken neck, that went undetected for 6 months. Like, I lived with a broken neck for 6 months before any doctor ever figured out that my neck was broken. So I laid flat in a bed for 23 hours a day for almost a year. And I had to do a lot of introspection. I didn't have to. I did a lot of introspection during that time because I couldn't even take myself to the restroom. Went from one day doing everything for everyone to the next day, I couldn't even take care of myself. And so what I found out through that introspection is that I had been living my life doing everything that everyone else expected me to do. I was doing things the way other people wanted me to do them. And through that introspection, getting in touch with my authentic self and my soul, I realized that my body's talking to me and telling me what I really need to be doing, what I need, not what other people are telling me what I need, but what I need to be doing. And so I started listening to that inner voice that my soul was speaking to me and have gained so much. I'm no longer have to lay in a bed all the time. I can walk independently now. I can drive. I can do a lot of things. But that's how I coach my clients, is to get in touch with that internal, to do that internal work, to get in touch with that voice inside there, because it has so much to teach us. I don't know if that answered the question that you asked me, but that's what came to mind.
Yeah, no, I love that perspective. For people who aren't coaching that way, what are some suggestions? Like, what should we be adding to our practices so that we're making sure that we're servicing women of a certain age?
Well, I'll just share this. I don't know about, you know, the rest of the panel, but for me, coaching was not necessarily a path that I would have taken. This kind of like happened to me, so to speak. I was in the nonprofit sector for over 20 some years, and that's my background. That's what I, you know, that's what I knew. Coaching for me came about as a result of medical challenge, a health challenge that really left me kind of with questions. You know, I thought that I basically had, you know, followed the path, so to speak, and did all the right things, you know, had all my I's dotted and my T's crossed, and, you know, just thought I was following the plan, and realized that, no, I needed to make a pivot, and I needed to make a pivot, you know, urgently. And mm-hmm. so as a result of that, I just tell people that, you know, my pain became my passion and my mess became my message. And so I kind of was thrown into this new journey. And a lot of my clients are finding themselves in a place of pivot. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's important to be flexible in the pivot, you know, to not think that you always have it figured out all the time, because you don't. Mm-hmm. And life will show you that, it'll teach you that, it'll give you, you know, these lemons, and you got to learn how to still make lemonade. And so that's kind of, you know, my story in a nutshell. And what I try to teach other women is that, you know, learn how to be kind to yourself, to be more flexible with yourself, not to, you know, to be okay with having to chart a new path or a new journey or things like that, because everything is not as detailed as you think it is. You know, there's some life will throw you some curveballs sometimes, and you really just have to know how to navigate that. And so I think it's important, no matter where you are, midlife or, you know, beyond midlife journey or beyond, anything that happens where you're going to encounter change, it's a moment of reflection and introspection, as Amy was sharing. So that can occur at any given point, time, age. You know, I don't think it really has a lot to do with that. It's just a matter of awareness that when it does happen, that you kind of lean into that.
Yeah. Good perspective. Susanna, how can women prioritize their physical health during menopause, considering changes like in metabolism, our bone health, our muscle mass? How can we make Pilates or exercise or whatever we choose to do a priority?
Well, I think the first thing I'll say is I want to take it away from something that is just exercise. You know, we think of exercise as happening in a gym. It's something that we do that's separate from the rest of our lives. Or we think of it sometimes, if you've been someone who's very athletic over your life, you have to be crushing it for it to be of value. Right. And that's just simply not true. You know, in midlife, there are definitely changes, hormonal changes, that mean that our muscle mass is shifting. It's harder to get. So yes, strength training of various kinds is important. That doesn't necessarily have to mean going and lifting heavy in a gym, if that's not your thing. For a lot of women, managing cortisol levels and the things that change, you know, your blood sugar, your cortisol levels, that kind of thing, are not going to respond well to super heavy, hard training. Instead, you'd be better to go for a walk after dinner and, you know, sort of manage a sort of a slower approach. That can be Pilates, that can be yoga, that can be walking in the park, playing with your kids or your grandkids. There are definitely shifts that have to be made. A lot of women around midlife start to feel nervous about doing things that they used to do because they're afraid of getting hurt. You know, ooh, I don't want to go skiing. I might break my leg and then I can't do all the things that I do. There's a little bit sometimes a fear of doing hard things. So looking for ways to support your structure so that if all of those years of compensations and various injuries and life showing up in your body have added things that are difficult, you know, your posture shifts, it's harder to get up and down off the floor, whatever those are, if you can address those, then moving around is a lot easier. I think exercise is great. And if it's something that you love to do, go do it. I'm obviously a proponent. My business is a fitness business, but we like to really say there's more to it than muscle. The more you can really incorporate your whole life into your movement, it'll be a whole lot more fun. You're a lot more likely to do it. And rather than being something you do an hour a week somewhere special, it's something that you can do wherever you are and for your whole life.
I love that. And so talk to us about the role that nutrition plays in managing our symptoms, such as hot flashes, fatigue, sleepless nights, and the list goes on and on and on.
One of the things that we like to help people understand is that what you eat really does matter in so many different ways. I don't know if you know, but there are studies out there that show that, you know, a lot of the things that we think are going on with kids have to do with what we're eating them. We're giving them burgers and fries and hot dogs and chips, and none of that stuff is helping them mentally when their cognitive levels to develop the way they should. It's the same thing with us. Everything that you put in your body has a purpose. And you have this distinct language that God has given you with your body so that you'll know when you're deficient in something. It's simple. It's called a craving. And if your body needs certain things, it'll make, you know, peaches seem like the best thing you ever ate in your life. You know, it'll make broccoli seems like, you know, we haven't had it. Remember the last time and it had the cheese melted to perfection on it? But your body has a way of asking you for what it needs. The problem is we haven't given it the dialogue so that it can have that conversation with us. Just like when you're a parent and you have a newborn, child learns to understand what you're saying before they learn to speak the words. And that's because you've given them words over and over and over again. So if your body's never had a Brussels sprout, if your body's never had a chia seed, your body's never had salmon, how is it going to ask you for these things that will help you along the path to keep your body A, healthy, to prevent you from getting certain diseases, and, you know, to lessen symptoms, whether they're symptoms of menopause or anything else you have. You know, we encourage people to try something new at least once per week. Give your body a chance to say yay or nay. Don't just say, you know, let your taste buds do all the voting or your eyes do all the voting. Let what's on the inside of you decide, oh yeah, this has the antioxidants that I need. So I think I'm going to ask for more of those. You will be surprised. If you had told me back in 2006 that I would crave avocados and kale and artichokes, you know, that I would have thought you were insane, because those things were not in, you know, on the menu for me at all. But now, you know, my body asks me for those things. And then there are those times when I'm not hungry, but I know I haven't eaten in a while and I'm not particularly craving anything. And I'm like, well, Lord, what should I eat? And I will get a response that you need to eat this and this and that. And it's because I may be, you know, at the optimal levels of what I need in terms of calcium, magnesium, manganese, or whatever the case may be. But I'm about to be a little low in this area, so the Lord can nudge me and, you know, into eating this thing or to eating that thing. So I think us starting that dialogue with our bodies so that we get what we need when we need it is a big, big step in the right direction.
I agree with that. So my son, daughter-in-law, and I are vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So while my daughter-in-law was pregnant, she started craving meat like crazy. But we know if you crave meat, especially red meat, you're low in iron. So they started eating spinach. She started eating, well, I say they because, you know, he was doing whatever she was doing. apricots, just whatever fruits and vegetables had a lot of iron. And then all of a sudden her craving went away. So there is something to what you just said. Your body can speak to you and let you know what you need and or what you are deficient in. If you're tired, maybe you need some magnesium, more vitamin E. If your energy is low, you should probably, you know, eat some foods that have beads in it. So that I love what you're saying, because it's so true. And there's science behind that. Your body really does let you know where there's a gap. Does anyone else want to speak to that?
I'll speak to that as well. To Anne's point, I think your body will also tell you what you don't need to eat anymore either. I find it as I get, I don't know if it's because of age and per se, but just as I, you know, am journeying along, that there's certain things that I used to love and used to crave, and I no longer want those things, you know, or my body's like, no, we don't need that. And so I'll get a, you know, a funny taste about it. And it's like, I don't need it anymore. So I think it goes, I think it's both ways. I think the key is communication, to be so in tune with yourself, mind, body, soul, spirit, that, you know, the communication is there. Like you said, the dialogue is there and your body will speak to you and tell you the things that you want and the things that you don't want. It's the same thing with self-care as well. I found that, you know, my body will tell me when I need to rest. And I now know how to actively listen for that or actively tune into that. So your body, you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We've created, you know, that way, and pretty much manage and take care of itself. But you've got to be a willing partner in that, you know, so that it can trust you to do that. So I just appreciate your comments on it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to throw this out to everyone. So how do you prioritize mental health and emotional well-being in your health and wellness business for yourself, for your clients?
Well, I'll go. I'll just start the conversation. again, for me, it was really not a choice. I hit a brick wall, pretty much, not prioritizing my own self, not prioritizing my self-care. And I've been a caregiver all my life, from taking care of my grandmother to taking care of my husband, my best friend who has a significant disability, and also taking care of my mom who had a terminal illness until she passed away. So I've been in the caregiver role all of my life, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so I've always put the needs of others first. Even in my business, my career, nonprofit organization, of course, when we do human service work, we're always taking that work home with us. We're always putting the needs of others first. And it does have its own rewards, but it does have its own challenges as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it was important for me to, again, to understand, and my body was giving me warning signs. It was actually trying to communicate with me, but because I missed the warning signs had to become louder and louder and louder. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they may start off by just yawning all the time or just feeling really exhausted after work or stuff like that. Or it may escalate and elevate to the point where, you know, you've got high blood pressure or you're dealing with, you know, other chronic diseases or whatever the case may be. So your body's always trying to communicate with you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you name it. And so for your mental and your emotional state, I always tell my clients, like, really tune in, be aware of what is going on mentally, you know, and what's going on emotionally. Understanding that you have more control than you think. And it's important to maintain that control unless you get to the point to where it's out of control, you know, because mm-hmm. if you miss the warning signs and you're not really taking care of yourself, you're not really prioritizing your own needs first, then those warning signs will become louder and louder. And eventually, and unfortunately, what happened to me is that I missed all the warning signs and then a chronic health challenge came on and, you know, caused mm-hmm. me to, I was no longer in control, basically. I had to heal. I had to yield to the process of healing. And so I encourage, you know, all of my clients to just be aware. I think awareness is the first step to any change that you're trying to make, and then to have accountability in that as mm-hmm. well. You know, it's very important that what we're doing today, for example, sharing on this platform, and thank you, Stephanie, for having us have this conversation, because I don't think we do it enough in all of our communities, right? And so it's important to be able to have accountability and to be able to talk about the things that are most vulnerable to you and know that you're not alone in it. And so that makes for good mental health as well, and emotional health and well-being as well. So thank you.
Susanna or Amy, do either one of you want to take that question as well?
Sure, I'll hop on that. Okay. Oh, I have learned that I have to start every day with connecting with internally, emotionally, and mentally, or the day is not going to go well. So I have to start my day that way. And I do a lot of journaling, and I have my clients do a lot of journaling. So much healing has come for me and for them through journaling, because sometimes we will write things down that we won't say out loud or that we won't admit to ourselves. Yeah. And so the process of journaling is so important. And one thing I do that I let my clients know is that I only take three a month, or I only take three clients at a time, mm-hmm. because that's self-care. That's a form of self-care to me. Like, I could take on more, but it wouldn't be healthy for me emotionally and mentally. So mm-hmm. to me, that's an example for them, that for me saying I only take three clients because that's how many I can handle and still be able to take care of myself adequately.
I love that. So you're walking the talk, living out what you're telling them to do. Yeah. So I was, when you mentioned journaling, I used to be an angry journaler. I journaled when I was angry. And actually I was sitting there. I'm like, I haven't journaled in a long time. Oh, wait, that's a good thing for me. Oh, I can write about you like nobody's business.
I have a friend. Let me just throw this out there. I have a friend who did that, who was an angry journaler. Uh-huh. And ended up turning it into a book. It's a best-selling book because so many people can relate to that. Like, people relate to that, you know?
Amy, that might be a little bit too.
That's TMI right there. TMI.
Yeah, in my case. But no, that's genius. That is genius to use all of that. It was like you could put it down on paper and then you were allowed to make a decision. Do you let these things come out of your mouth? Do you let these things impact your body, your mind, your spirit? Or do you write them down, know that they happen, know this is how you feel about it, and then just move on? So it allowed me to make a decision to keep my mouth shut in a lot of cases. But it also allowed me to probably save a lot of relationships too, because you can talk too much.
Right. And the thing is, I'm not trying to take over here, but this is my thing. I love this. Yeah. But the thing is that those emotions, because I study emotions in depth, those emotions want to be surfaced. They want to surface. They want to be have attention drawn to them. Yeah. And if we're stuffing them down all the time and trying to bury them, they're going to keep trying to come up. But if we put them out on paper, they have a place to live. They have been acknowledged. They have been seen, and we feel more free. We're able to express it a little bit easier. And so there we go. That's my spiel on emotions.
Yes.
I'd like to add to that if I could. I love what you're saying, both, well, everybody, around emotions and the processing of emotions, and writing them down is a really great way to go. Moving is also a really great way to go. True. One of the ways that we talk to our clients every day is we make sure that when they acknowledge, take a moment to sort of feel where they are in their bodies, what's going on in their lives, what's happening for them internally as they start to move through the workout. And we have a process where we're seeing people on the regular. It's not sort of, you know, drop-in classes here and there. We see people on a regular basis. So we get to know them in their lives. And it's really interesting as people start to pay attention to A, how they're feeling, and also how that changes their movement. How does it change when there's new information coming in? How does it change when they're stressed or grieving? How does it change when they're excited? And, you know, all of those things. And they start to recognize those states in their bodies and how they move. It turns into a great tool because people start to recognize how they are living in their bodies on every given day. And it also gives them an opportunity to be able to shift that if they need to, or move in a different way. You know, if they're stressed, maybe going for a run is a really great way to get, you know, get the endorphins going, but maybe that's not it. Maybe that's adding more stress. And maybe for you that day, it's about settling down, going for a slow walk, or just doing a breath practice. Mm-hmm. So finding those tools via your movement really also helps us to be present in our bodies and aware of how we are.
Yeah, so that's important, because when I became aware of the perimenopause journey, not when I started, because that started a long time ago, I was getting ready for a 5K. Never ran a day in my life. I know all my cousins listening and laughing right now.
Like, I thought, not alone.
I know, right? I ran a mile. And for me, that was like, whoo. But that's not what my body needed. And I didn't understand that during that time, my hormones were so off balance. I was actually making things a lot worse. So I appreciate the fact that you said that for some people, you know, you may be at a point where you want to hit it a little more hard, or you can go for a longer distance. But for some people, it just may be breath work, or it may be a casual walk. So I think that's important. I think what we all are saying is we need to learn to listen to our bodies. That sounds like that's a, you know, around the Zoom room, we need to learn to listen to our bodies. And I don't know that every woman understands that power that they have, but internally, it feels to me as if women just have that intuition at a higher level where they, you know, when something is going on, what you need to do at this point is just listen and then move forward. So yeah, I love that. I'm going to throw out two more questions for you. So one or two, you can answer this one if you'd like. How can women communicate their needs and experiences with their partners, their friends, their family, so that they can foster more understanding and get more support?
I will say that you have to know what you need first. That's the first step.
Is, right there, Amy.
Do I know? Because like I was saying, so many people will tell you what you need, but that may not be what you really need. Like, it's all about, you got to figure out what you really need first before you can even start to express that to other people. So I'll just start with that.
I love that.
I'll say for me, you know, having a supportive community was very important for me, because I was pretty much, you know, the one that everybody depended on. And so what happens when the caregiver needs care? You know, what happens when the person who is basically supporting everybody else now needs support? It's important to create the type of community that you need so that you can be vulnerable, so that you can allow yourself or give yourself time and space to heal, so that you don't have the defense mechanisms that so many of us have. You know, when we're being super women, right? We're you know, we just go, go, go. And we've got our cape and we're flying around and we're putting out fires and attending to all the things. Right. But it's okay. You need a supportive environment where you don't have to wear the cape, you know. And that's what I try to create now for women. I don't think we have it enough. And so I try to create communities where it's okay for the superwoman to put off her cape, you know, and to rest, you know, to really rest in the pivots in life, the changes in life, the things that are happening. Understand that, no, you may not be able to go back to the way things used to be, but that doesn't have to be a bad thing, right? That can be a very, very good thing. I think it's just really, really important to be aware and to start to build that community based upon, again, what Amy said, what you need. It's important to thine own self to be true.
So we are going to go around the room and you're going to respond to two questions because you ladies are amazing. And I want to make sure that folks know what you do and know how to contact you. So first, I'll have you answer this question. As a woman celebrating Women's History Month, what legacy or message do you hope to leave for future generations? So after you answer that question, then you can say, and I am dot, dot, dot. All right. So who would like to get started? We want to go in alphabetical order? We can. Bonita. Because that'll give me time to remember is an M before an N. Or
Well, again, I just want to say, brain. I want to say, no, you're fine. I just want to say thank you so much again, Stephanie, for creating a platform and a space for us to be able to have this dialogue. I don't think that we really echo it enough. How important self-care is, and that self-care is not selfish, it's actually selfless. If you want to be there for your family and your friends and your loved ones and show up for your clients the way you really need to, then you have to take care of yourself as the first priority. It's very, very important. So the legacy that I want to leave is for future generations is self-compassion. To really understand what self-compassion is, to love yourself, to be kind to yourself, to because you put yourself first does not mean that you should carry guilt or shame or anything like that, that it's really okay for you to get in touch with yourself, to come from a place of again, self-compassion, to where you prioritize yourself. That means setting boundaries. That means being intentional about resting. That means dealing with coping mechanisms. I think the reason why I was so out of touch with myself and so out of touch with the care that I really needed was because I coped a lot. I used a lot of coping mechanisms and pretty much detached emotionally, you know, probably emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, all of the above, just really was in a space of detachment from myself. And that, so the legacy that I want to leave women is like to really get in touch with yourself, to align yourself. My message is that total well-being is alignment in all of these areas, physically, mentally, socially, spiritually, and emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to do that and to help others along the way to do the same thing. But it's by these conversations, you know, being able to have this type of platform. What I do is I'm the self-care surgeon. And so I help women mm-hmm. leaders to revive and thrive in purpose. And I do that through a wellness program and retreat where, you know, you come to the retreat and you're met with all kinds of VIP treatment, pampering, just really teaching you more about loving you, you know, and how to love on you and love on yourself and how to pour into yourself because you are always pouring into everybody else. And so that's what we're here to do, is pour back into you.
Thank you. And I went to the retreat last year and had an amazing time. So you may want to check that out. You will want to check that out. All right, Amy.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm going to echo what Bonita said. This is such a great thing that you're doing, and I appreciate you sending out the invitation for me to join you. Thank you so much. I'm Amy Thurman, and the legacy that I would like to leave is that it's never too late to start. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I'm 52 years old, and just last year, I started, I feel like, what is my purpose in life? Like, mm-hmm. I am now an inspirational speaker. I share my story of hope and resilience of where I have gone through, like I said, living the past 10 years with a broken neck, and I have been able to find hope in the midst of that adversity. And now I use my story to help other people, to bring hope and my message of resilience to other people. So I do inspirational speaking. I'm an author. I started my own podcast to allow other people to share their stories of adversity where they have gained hope in the midst of adversity. I'm a disabled entrepreneur. I'm working on my first TED Talk. I have a coaching practice called Polish the Mirror, where I help you learn to polish the mirror of your life so that you can see your authentic self and your soul more clearly and be able to hear those messages that are coming from where whatever you believe in. And so that has only happened to me within the past year. I'm 52. And so I want you to know it's never too late to start. You can begin wherever you are, however old you are. You can start right there with what you have, with what you know. You can always build on that and create it, make it into whatever you want it to be, and live the life of your dreams. And so, as I said, I already explained who I am and what I do. And my website is www.getamieshelp.com. And there are, in my coaching practice, we do a lot of journaling, like I said, but I also created an emotion frequency chart where I've taken 100 different emotions and I've put them into 10 different stages according to their vibrational frequency. And we walk through how to learn how to live in a more high vibration life, really. And so that chart and the 10 steps to showing yourself self-love is on my website under the free tab. So a couple freebies there for you. But again, Stephanie, thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it a lot.
You're so welcome. And
thank you, Stephanie, for having me. And thank you to all these women. I've learned a lot because I am not that lady who knows how to let other people help her. So I'm like, I cannot say anything about that. When it comes to that response, I will be quiet. So I appreciate everything that you all added. As for me, my purpose is to be like Christ, to love and serve his people and to spread his gospel all over the world to the best of my ability. So I pray that the legacy left behind, that God says, well done, you accomplished that, and that other people have learned that health and fitness isn't just a physical thing. It isn't just a mental thing where you want to look good. You want other people to think you look good, but that there's a spiritual component to it as well. When you understand that it's more than, you know, just about what you look like, it's more than just about what you feel like, it's more than about just your health, you are maturing, not just physically, but in a spiritual space too. And holistically, things change. It affects you in every way. It not only affects you physically, so where you look better and you feel better, but mentally speaking, you get that blessing too. And then we're not going to talk about the spiritual, because there are all kinds of spiritual blessings that come with eating and drinking for the glory of God instead of just so I can look good in a dress or, you know, in a swimsuit or that type of thing. So that's what we hope and pray that people learn and how they come to live their lives. In terms of me, Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, we're a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that through our 12-week health and fitness course, which will start up again in August. Please do check out our website at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org for dates of the next class that you can sign up. Our classes are free. There are no registration fees or membership fees. The only thing you're responsible for is the cost of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook, which you can get online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or you can buy it directly from me if you'd like to. Again, thank you, Stephanie, for having me. And it was a pleasure meeting all you ladies and learning from you.
Thank you. Susanna.
I'm going to echo what everybody said. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for inviting me and on all these fabulous women. I feel like this conversation could go on for much longer. There's way more to talk about. So thank you for putting this together. I appreciate you and all of you. I'm going to take a long view to this legacy question. If you think about it, we're charting a new course, all of us, with these kinds of conversations. When you look back 100 years ago, in 1924, the average life expectancy for a woman was 61 years old. And only 5% of those women were classified as being in the workforce. These days, in North America, a woman's life expectancy is about 84 years old. And almost 50% of us, we make up about 50% of the workforce. So the context has changed. There are a lot more of us who are in perimenopause and menopause who are trying to navigate all the things mm-hmm. at the same time. And we're getting squeezed and having to deal with all the things. Science is only now just starting to catch up with the realities of women's health. So all the things that for years were prescribed or supported may not have been relevant. And in a lot of cases were harmful. So now we're starting to get to a place where the information is there, the data is there. We are a community of women. When we hook into each other, we can do powerful things. So I'm going to say, keep on keeping on, girls. Let's keep going. Let's have these conversations. And thank you, Stephanie, for putting this together, because I really think this is a groundswell. I'm really thrilled about the possibilities for all of us and the lives and the quality of the lives that we can lead and the difference we can make in the world. So thank you.
Yeah. How do we get in contact with you?
I have a Pilates studio in North Vancouver. It's movingspirit.ca, which is the Canadian ending, rather than .com. And we do movement programs, movement pattern rehabilitation and enhancement, all kinds of fitness programs for people of all ages. And we're just in the process of putting together an online program for those people that are not so close to home. It's in the relatively early stages now, but if you catch us on social media, either Facebook, Facebook X, or particularly Instagram at The Moving Spirit, you'll find all the latest about what we're doing and how we're doing it and how you can get in touch.
That's amazing. Ladies, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Again, everyone, thank you for being a guest. Let's, we've already gone around the Zoom room and told who we are. So I want to let everyone listening know that I'll have that information in the show notes as well, so you can get in contact with these amazing women. Thank you all for listening to Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midlife change. Again, make sure you check out the show notes, where we will include links to all of the subjects that we covered today. Here's to your health. Did you know that you can be a guest on Hello Hot Flash? Well, you can, and I'm inviting you to have a lifestyle conversation with me. During our 30-minute chat, we'll come up with a strategy that will help you reach your health and wellness goals, and it's completely free. Check out episode 119 to hear an example of a lifestyle conversation, and then head over to hellohotflash.com, scroll down, and click on free resources. You'll see a link to schedule your lifestyle conversation. Spaces are limited. I can't wait to have a lifestyle conversation with you. Here's to your health.